God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott reading for you the words of Matthew 11:28-30. And talking with you today again on the subject of asking questions. There is a spirit of questioning that I sometimes feel in an audience when I have a question and answer period, which I often do following my talks. And I get the impression that people really are not willing to put themselves under anybody's authority, not even the authority of Christ. Now, I don't expect them or you who are listening to me today to be willing to put yourself under my authority. Far from it. I'm just here to talk to you about what it means to love God and to obey Him and to trust Him. But the questions which are asked in the question and answer period, and normally we have them written down so I never know who the questioner is, sometimes seem to have the spirit of, what can you tell me? What do you think you know about this? And or who do you think you are? And don't tell me anything that's uncomfortable to me. In fact, I had a letter not very long ago from a woman who asked me a very hard question, and then she said, "And don't tell me just to pray." Well, I didn't know what else to tell her. There really wasn't anything else that I could possibly tell her. It would have been a piece of consummate arrogance on my part if I had presumed to know any answer to the question she had posed other than prayer. Some of the sample questions that I get, how do I handle my feelings about this or that or the other thing? I've talked about this many times. I've written about it in my book on loneliness. I've written about it in my book on suffering, A Path Through Suffering. And I don't have any magic, but the most helpful thing for me when it comes to feelings that I can't handle is to hand them over to the Lord. Do we believe that God is willing to help us with unruly feelings? In 2 Corinthians 10, we read that we are to bring every thought into captivity to Christ. I don't know how to handle any kind of unhandleable feelings except to ask my Master to take charge and to bring those feelings in all honesty and simplicity before Him and ask Him to help me. Now, just yesterday, I was very irritated with my husband about some little thing. And this was very early in the morning, and I thought, what a way to start the day. I wanted to say something nasty. I willed not to say something nasty. I don't think that was hypocritical. And I didn't have to say anything to him about how I felt about the thing, but I did have to say something to God. God knew that there was sin in my heart. God knew the evil thoughts that I was thinking. What do I do about them? I hand them over. Somebody writes, "Why did God take my wonderful husband?" Somebody else writes, "Why doesn't God do something about my far from wonderful husband?" Of course, those aren't the words in which the letter was couched. And I don't know what your hardest question may be today, but I do want to suggest a question for you to consider. Have you prayed? Have you prayed the Lord's Prayer? Do you think of Him as your Father? I think it was nearly a year ago now that I talked about what the Lord's Prayer means to me. And the very first words are, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Do you think of him as a loving father who is not only interested in whatever you're interested in, able to take care of whatever this need is that you're bringing to him, but who also loves you more than any earthly father could possibly love you? Do you believe that he knows what's best? Do you believe that he hears your prayer? Well, then the next petition, "Our Father who art in heaven," is, "Hallowed be thy name." And we talked about that. What does it mean that his name should be hallowed? Well, that it should be honored and glorified in your response to this problem today. Are you concerned that his name should be hallowed? Do you think you know best about how this will occur, how his name is to be hallowed and honored and glorified? Well, when Paul was on his way to Rome, the elders of the church just begged and implored him with tears not to go. Paul was being led by the Holy Spirit. And of course, when he went, he was imprisoned. Do you suppose that the Christians could understand how God's name was best honored and glorified by Paul's being in prison? I don't think they understood that. But if you pray, "Hallowed be thy name," then you have to be prepared for some strange, unexplainable answers. Can you place your problem in the context of the kingdom of God? Thy kingdom come. Remember, when you're asking God about a lost article in your house, and I often have occasion to ask God where that thing is that I'm looking for, I have to remember that God is not only interested in the sparrow that falls and the hair that falls from my head and the pen that I've lost, but he is also engineering a universe. Can I place my particular problem in the context of that universe? Not that I have to see how it fits, but just remember who it is that's controlling the universe and the one to whom I bring my petition. Well, if you can't see how it fits, can you trust him anyway? Will you ask God to give you the answer that best advances the coming of his kingdom? Will the coming of his kingdom best be answered by God's taking your wonderful husband? I had to understand that that is exactly what God was saying to me when he took my wonderful husband Jim Elliott and when he took my second wonderful husband Addison Leach. Why did he? Why did he take them? Jim was an effective missionary. There were new believers that Jim was responsible for. We had a baby only 10 months old who needed a father. I thought I needed a husband. There were a whole lot of reasons why I couldn't understand how the kingdom of God would be advanced by God's taking my husband. But the great thing is that I don't need to know how. I must pray, "Thy kingdom come." And then I must say, "Lord, I accept this." In acceptance lies peace. Why doesn't God do something about my far from wonderful husband? Somebody asks. God is doing something about him. God is doing things that haven't entered your imagination. He has things up his sleeve that are so wonderful, so far beyond your wildest imaginings, that if he told you about them, you probably wouldn't be able to keep your mind on your work. When you pray, "Thy will be done," do you remember the difference between willing and wanting? Are you willing that his will be done, even if it turns out to be something you didn't want? Has it occurred to you that this very thing which troubles you so deeply has something to do with the daily bread, with God's portion for you? Give us this day our daily bread. A few weeks ago, I fell and hurt my back. It was pain. It was real pain. I don't think I've ever had a pain that was even close to being that bad since 36 years ago when I had my one and only baby. But you know what verse the Lord gave me that day? It was Psalm 16:5. The Lord assigns my portion and my cup. Well, I said, thank you, Lord. This wasn't my idea of what your assignment would be for me today, learning a new lesson about pain. But he assigned exactly the portion that he knew was necessary that his kingdom come and his will be done in me. Let me ask, do you in any way need forgiveness in connection with this thing that you're praying about today? Will you forgive the one who has trespassed in exactly the same measure in which you would like God to forgive you? Can you try to see your need in terms of the last petition of the Lord's Prayer? Lead us not into temptation. Does it seem as though that's just what God has done? Remember, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. If it's an unanswered prayer, perhaps God said no because he knew far better than you did what a yes would mean for you and for those you love and for the world and his kingdom. What question are you asking God? Will you ask yourself these questions that I've suggested? And perhaps they'll help as guidelines in a new kind of praying. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.